Welcome to The Geek Generation, Episode 7. I feel like I'm starting all of these shows off lately with an apology. We are dealing with another technical issue this week, an unforeseen one, as Dave Palmacci returns to the show and is joining me via somewhat touchy Wi-Fi. How you doing, Dave?
Hey guys, I'm hanging in there. I am in the middle of the White Mountains up in New Hampshire, and it's beautiful out here. Unfortunately, they don't believe in technology. So the Wi-Fi sucks, and we apologize for that. I do probably sound like a robot most of the time.
And we can just pretend like there's a half a Terminator skull on your head or something right now.
That's really badass.
Yeah, you can feel like a killing machine.
Yeah.
Sorry?
You know, somewhere up here is Mike Reinflesh. He's about 30 miles from me. He's spending a week up here, too. I'm trying to get in contact with him.
Yeah, that's actually the reason he didn't want to join me this week, but he will be on the show next week again.
I joined you this week!
I know you did!
I'm still up here.
Yeah, but we also had that miscommunication from last week as well.
We did.
Yeah, and your text message shines clearly through last week's broadcast. All right, we'll jump right in then, because we have a bunch of stuff, and I know the both of us are kind of fired up about a whole bunch of things. So, we have some listener emails this week. We put out the poll question last week, what is the most overrated movie ever created? And I got some interesting responses, so let's take a look at those. First one, it comes in from, I hope I'm saying this right, at Leda Hernandez V on the Twitter. She says, overrated movie, Scarface. There are much better choices out there. Examples, Goodfellas, The Godfather, etc. Just don't understand. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? Scarface, I think it's one of those movies where the ending of it just kind of takes over the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie, I think, to watch if you're into the whole criminal stuff. It's pretty badass and pretty brutal. But the ending sequence, I think, just captures the whole movie.
Right.
I can understand her point, but then I'm a guy, so I really like that movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it seems any mafia movie, although I'm not a big fan of mafia movies, but it tends to be a very guy-oriented thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next email comes in from Mary Fontaine, who says, Titanic, Titanic, Titanic. Number one, we all knew how it ended. Two, it was ridiculously long. Three, the plot had holes in it that the damn ship could sail through. Four, if the dumb bimbo had just gotten on the lifeboat to begin with, Jack could have floated on that door and lived. Five, and how much money did it make? Honestly, it was just a historical fiction version of Waterworld. And six, my friends dragged me to see it twice. I want 8 hours of my life back. Well, the first thing I can say is that I still have held out and not actually seen Titanic. I swore I never would. And I haven't yet.
Wow, man. Wow. I have seen it. It wasn't the most exciting movie adventure, but I saw it just to cast judgment upon it. And it gets my vote for the most overrated. I thought it was an okay movie. I mean, I by itself, it's not something I would ever buy because it was clearly just, superficial and full of fluff with the whole romance thing. And I was like, I'm not buying this. It takes a lot for me to buy into that crap. But it was way too overrated, I think. And yeah, it's the number two now movie of all time. I don't understand how it made that much money. I guess, you know, there's that many chicks dragging their husbands and boyfriends and guy friends to go see it. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest reason for not going to see it was not only that it just seemed terrible. I don't know. It just didn't appeal to me at all as a movie. I didn't really care about seeing something about a sinking ship. And I was a bit upset how quickly it went above Star Wars as far as making the money it did.
Yeah, you also have to remember that ticket prices doubled. You know, the price of Star Wars were half the price, if not even less than that, of movie tickets at the time.
Right. I think they do account. There's another list that takes inflation into account, but I think Titanic still, with inflation intact, would have pulled in more money.
Right.
Let's see. Next email comes in from Jaren number one, who I'm glad to see has embraced my new nickname for him as our number one fan and actually shortened it to G number one.
Nice.
Before we can properly...
What's up,
what's that?
I said, what's up, G1?
G1. Before we can properly answer, what's the most overrated movie ever created? We must first ask ourselves, rated by who? If you mean rated by my friends, then I believe that the most overrated movie of our generation is The Sixth Sense. It gets a lot of praise for being original and having a big shocking ending, except I figured out the ending in 5 minutes and found the rest of the movie to be the work of a promising but juvenile director. Don't get me wrong, I'm not an M. Night Shyamalan hater. Unbreakable and Signs are both underrated in my opinion. If you mean rated nationally, then I must look towards AFI's 100 Greatest Movies of All Time. And, again, I must pick on The Sixth Sense. Was it really the 89th best movie of all time? No. No, it's not. Also, Gone with the Wind isn't that great. Your listener, G1.
Yeah, Sixth Sense, I thought it had a good story to it, but it didn't scare me at all. Like, as far as being scary, it's, you know, it was like watching, and you know, the Smurfs or something to me. It just didn't have the same effect. And Gone with the Wind, I've never gotten through that movie out of pure boredom. I've heard the book is a lot better, but I can't watch that movie. It's just, maybe that should be my number one. It's just, I kind of just shove it off to the side because it's an old movie and I'm just, I don't know, I can never ever watch the movie in its entirety. It bores me to death. It's just so fake.
Yeah.
And so stupid. Just, ugh.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen Gone with the Wind. The Sixth Sense, unfortunately, I don't think I ever really got to enjoy as it should have been enjoyed because someone ruined it for me before I watched it, and I was well aware of the big twist at the end. So...
Yeah, once someone tells you the twist, forget it.
Yeah, it wasn't very enjoyable to me after I knew that fact, so I can see where Jaren is making that case. It's really a one-time watch-through for the twist, and if you figure it out early, then the point's kind of gone.
Exactly. And unlike Jaren, though, I am an M. Night Shyamalan hater. I hate pretty much all of his movies except Unbreakable.
Right, I'm the same way. Well, I don't hate his movies.
Sixth Sense, I just think all the recent movies he's done, like, have gotten worse. Like, I think that's what it feels like. They've just gone down. From when he first started, he was okay. And then he just, every movie, I mean, I tried watching Lady in the Water, I think it was, mm-hmm. All these other ones, I'm just laughing at how dumb they are. Just like, ugh.
I've also heard that some people complain not necessarily about his writing, but his directing. Like, his stories are good, but his directing style is not so good. And I guess we'll see how that plays out. He has another movie coming out that he did not direct, but he did write, and it's called Devil, about, I think, six or eight people or something in an elevator, and they get stuck in there, and one of those people is apparently the devil, but you don't know who.
Ah! Uh-huh! I think I know who. Actually, wait, I don't, but...
Yeah. So that's an interesting concept.
Very interesting concept. I'm surprised they didn't throw a zombie or a vampire in there, too.
I know, right? Just to piggyback on all the stuff Hollywood's doing right now. Let's see. Next email comes in from the Middle East, so we are reaching international, from another one. I'm probably going to screw up this name. Farah Al-Sayed. I think the most overrated movie ever created is Inception. I'm going to go ahead and throw this one right away or just wipe my ass with it because, really? Inception is the most overrated movie ever?
Yeah, I gotta disagree with you, Farrah. I'm sorry, love. You know, it's Inception to me is the only movie out right now that is not a sequel, a prequel, or a remake and has originality to it. If you're gonna say it's overrated, list the reasons why it's overrated. All the other movies we talked about, your other email listeners that wrote in gave pretty valid reasons why. You
Right.
know, tell me why Inception is overrated. That movie blew me away. You know, it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't consider it my favorite movie of all time, but I was just relieved after seeing it that, wow, something actually good on screen, good plot, good characters, good action sequences, good story, good everything that just kind of mixed together. And I really can't see how you think it's overrated, but hey, that's your opinion.
Yeah, Inception, in my opinion, and we talked about it last show. So he's writing in saying that it's an overrated movie when during that same show we were talking about how fantastic we thought it was. So I guess, like you said, it's his opinion, but he didn't say anything to counteract our opinions.
Yeah, exactly.
Next one comes in from another new writer, Joseph Palumbo. Joe here, you may remember hating me from such podcasts as Dangerous Memories. Anyway, this is the first time writing in because I've only recently started listening to your podcasts and now I'm caught up. Anyway, I hate to piggyback off of Todd, but I do have to agree that Avatar may be the most overrated movie ever made. Over 10 years to make that? I was seriously underwhelmed during this entire movie. The visuals looked like Final Fantasy cutscenes. It was basically Fern Gully meets Aliens, which turned out to make for an awful plot, and the acting was garbage as well. I was bored, I was pissed I spent $15 on 3D glasses, and overall I was confused as to why everyone loved the hell out of this movie. Why was this so universally appealing to everyone? I really can't think of many strong points. I dug the Mech Warrior suit at the end, even though that battle was just crap. I just don't know what all the hubbub was about. Even my 65-year-old father bought this thing on Blu-ray, much to my dismay. I like going to the movies to have fun. Even if the movie is bad, it's still usually pretty fun to make fun of it, or whatever the case may be, but I was not entertained at all by this film. Anyway, I won't take up any more of your time, and from what I understand, you enjoy this movie, so I'll try not to upset you on your own podcast. Keep up the good work. I'm not upset. I don't take these things personally unless someone was calling me like a dirty hobo or something. But
Huh.
I don't have any issue with that opinion. There are a lot of people who do think Avatar was overrated and was just a marvel of special effects. And if that's what it was, that's what I enjoyed it for. I thought the story was thin, but not horrible. And I was just fine with the acting. I felt immersed in the world, and that's what I wanted out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why people think Avatar is overrated. It was, and I believe we talked about this before, it was Dances with Wolves in Space. What kind of captured me is that the 3D aspect to it just extended the movie to me, so I was able to dive deeper into it and enjoy it more. And I kind of was able to push back the, you know, story of being, you know, yeah, it was a predictable story. I agree though with I don't understand why it took 10 years to make. I think that has more to do with the technology part of it, the 3D, you know, shooting it, not so much writing the story. But if it did take 10 years to write the story, then I have no idea why it took 10 years. I don't believe it.
Right, and I'm pretty sure Cameron said it was not that they were rehashing that story out for 10 years. The technology just did not exist until now, and that span of time happened to be 10 years, and now he's capable. So that's the only reason it took so long.
Well, I'm glad Avatar is at number one now instead of Titanic.
Oh, I can't agree more. Yeah, because I think it's far more deserving. And it's odd that we have two submissions in Titanic and Avatar that are such high-grossing movies that people feel to be overrated. Next one comes in from our friend Todd at Dangerous Memories. Hello, friend Todd from Dangerous Memories here. This isn't going to be long, seeing as I've mentioned it on my podcast many, many times. Avatar, to me, is the most overrated. There is no reason for this movie to be the number one highest-grossing movie of all time. There isn't a whole lot original about it, and it already doesn't hold up. The story is so contrived. Yeah, we get it. Dances with Wolves in Space. Someone was like, how else are the kids of today going to know about all the hardships the Native Americans went through? They don't read. This helps. Please, like seeing these blue effing things jumping around like a bunch of morons is going to make the kids today realize that Native Americans had it hard. The CG isn't that amazing. Rewatching Fellowship of the Rings recently, I thought the made-up universe in that looked better and didn't irritate me with all its CG-ness. It doesn't have to be all CG. Gollum, to me, looks better than almost any scene with the Na'vi, and that was almost 10 years ago. Don't even get me started on the writing and acting. Unobtainium, are you kidding me? Sam Worthington can't act his way out of a wet paper bag. Thank you for your time, Todd.
Valid. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I laugh at the Dances with Wolves and spacing, and yeah, kids don't read, it seems that. You know, don't get me on a political rant here, but yeah, we do sweep that under the rug here in the United States, the whole history of the genocide of the Native American, but, you know, as long as they put it in a sci-fi movie, oh, it's make-believe.
Right. Yeah, we've kind of said what we did about Avatar. The only thing I disagree with what Todd said is that I think the computer-generated things, and we talked about it in episode one, in Avatar are absolutely amazing, to the point where as I was so immersed in this world, I didn't really think about the fact that it was computer-generated.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I think Gollum from Lord of the Rings, he was a good computer-generated character. I thought he was amazing. But there's other parts in the Lord of the Rings trilogy I thought that, weren't as good as Avatar. Avatar just seemed everything convinced me. Everything flowed together, stitched together. It was a harmony. And I was, you know me, Rob, I'm picky as all hell with CGI.
Right.
I think it's way overused. But in Avatar, hey, it floated my boat.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I won't say it's the greatest movie ever created. I am happy it's the highest grossing, and I don't really think it's necessarily overrated. From the people that I've talked to, they like it. I've heard nobody say it's the most amazing thing they've ever seen, so I don't think it's rated that high. I think it's just high grossing.
Yeah. It was the most amazing thing I saw right after I came out of the theater, because it was the first 3D movie I saw, and I was like, holy shit, like, I was blown away by it.
Yeah.
But then after I saw it again, I'm like, okay, Dave, like, this is, pay attention to the story. And then I was like, okay, I like it, but it wasn't amazing.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so those are our listener emails from this week. Let's go right into our geek outs and freak outs. What are you geeking? Tongue tied. What are you geeking out over this week, Dave?
Yay!
I'm not geeking out. I'm still in online games, but a particular one I'm into now, they have these sort of browser strategy games. The one I'm into now is called Lord of Ultima. It's based on Ultima Online, but it's one of these games where it's time-based, sort of along the lines of Civilization-style games, where it takes forever to build stuff. You got to build armies, and you got to wait for them. So, you know, it's one of the games where you just log in, upgrade stuff, and then log out, and you have an alliance, and you conquer other castles or whatever. I like it because it's a casual game where I don't have to invest hours of time. I can just log in for a few minutes, set a few things to upgrade, say hi to some people. I play with these cool cats overseas in the Netherlands. So, yeah, it's a pretty fun game. It's interesting. But this seems to be a new hype of game. A lot of people, a lot of companies are coming out with these games because they get people to spend a lot of money by saying that it's free. But if you want to get these really cool items or generate stuff faster, just give us your credit card number and you can buy all these extra items. So you got to watch out for that stuff.
Right. Well, it's a good hook to get you in there. I think I've seen a few of those before. I haven't played any, though.
You might have seen the ads. There's a popular one called Evony, where I think they have the most brilliant marketing campaign ever. They just have banners of girls in bikinis everywhere, and it just says Evony. So then you click on it, you think you're going to some porn site, and instead it's for this online game.
I think I actually used to run one of those on the Geek Generation site before Google pulled my ads.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I tried that one for a little while, and it was hilarious just reading the world chat. It's kind of like a general chat. All the people that were laughing how they tried this game because they saw boobs and clicked on it. And
how easily manipulated we are.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think it was a brilliant marketing campaign. It's so simple, but it worked.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to try something like that out with our site. Do you look good in a bikini by any chance?
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
I do. I'll just have to shave my chest.
Not a problem. We can make that work.
And arms and legs. Okay.
All right. Anything else?
That's all I'm geeking out on.
Okay. Well, I have a few things I could talk
freaking
about.
Freaking out on?
We'll get to freakouts. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah, geeking out, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode. I talked about Warehouse 13, and I am caught up now on where they are actually in there. I watched all of season one. I started season two, and now I'm caught up to where I have to wait every week to get the new episode. The thing that I'm geeking out on this week with it is I think Sci-Fi is doing a really smart and cool service to their fans. They actually have a Warehouse 13 podcast, which is episode commentary. So you can go online and download these podcasts. And if you watch them or listen to them, I should say, along with watching the episode, it's like having a DVD with the commentary track on it.
Yeah, I got you.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Or you can go right on the Sci-Fi site and they have enhanced episodes, which have that same podcast commentary mixed right into the video. And you can watch that right on your computer. So I think that's really cool.
Nice, dude. I'm glad the Sci-Fi channel's still kicking around. I mean, that I used to watch it a lot back when they had Mystery Science Theater 3000. That was my favorite show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they just bust crappy B-movies made in the 60s and 70s. Oh, it was a riot. But
yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to check that show out, though.
I enjoy it. It's a good time. The other thing I'm geeking out over this week is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. And I know this is going to get into a bit of a heated discussion just because all I did was post on my Facebook page that I really want to see Scott Pilgrim this Friday. I'm not a big Michael Cera fan. I know you're not. But despite him being in the movie, I still think it looks like a really original, cool comic book movie that I really want to see. And I did download the PSN game of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which is almost a modern version of River City Ransom. I'm playing that right now and enjoying it very much too. But the the thread on Facebook might have had the largest amount of comments on it that I've ever received on anything I said. And it was based a lot off of what you added to it, Dave. Would you like to fill us in?
I would love to fill you in. And don't get me wrong, I want to see this movie too. I think it looks pretty funny and, you know, quirky, whatever. But to me, Michael Cera, he represents a lie. That's basically what I said. He's supposed to be this weak, vulnerable, sensitive, funny guy. You know, he doesn't exercise, there's no testosterone, and somehow he ends up with a girl. And, you know, I'm like, bullshit. Like, forget that. You know, girls say, oh, you know, he's so cute and funny. You know, shut up. Just shut up. Because you've met tons of Michael Ceras in your life. And the only reason you don't, you know, like them or think they're amazing is because they're not a movie star. That's why you like Michael Cera. Because he's on the big screen. He's a movie star. It's like, you know, anybody up there. If you and me, Rob, were in a movie, you know, people would suddenly love us. Oh, they're so funny. But in real life, everybody hates us. Everybody despises us. But so anyways, and then a lot of the rebuttal back at that was, oh, you know, back in the 80s, they had characters like that, you know, John Cusack or whatever. But people like John Cusack, he was just in 16 Candles. He didn't keep making the same movie over and over. He didn't keep making the same character. And that was the same with a lot of 80s movies. They didn't keep rehashing the same character. They did different genres. Michael Cera plays the same character. And yes, Arrested Development is a great show. It's hilarious. That's before Michael Cera became, you know, he started doing movies or whatever. So he was a great character in there. Like, everybody was great in that show. But after that, he just keeps playing the same thing, and I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. It's like why I'm sick of Will Ferrell. He plays the same guy. And it's like, okay. And everybody's like, oh, what are you talking about, dude? Like, they're hilarious. They're awesome. It's like, all right, if you like to rinse and repeat, you know, watch, waste your money seeing the same thing, fine. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever. But, you know, I'm interested in seeing the movie. But that's pretty much it.
I do agree with your rant. I know the people that fought against what you said mostly are the exceptions to the rule. And there are exceptions to everything. There are some girls who actually do like geeks and do like that. I'm not going to say weaker because I don't think that's accurate. More of a genuine.
Right. And
they're not.
And, yeah, I just want to throw in there that. I'm sarcastic. For people that know me, they already know this. This is one of the reasons why starting this podcast, like the first episode, I was sort of cautious and reserved. For you listeners out there, you have to wean onto me. You have to wean onto Dave. I'm like a drug. if I just come out and start being crazy and cautious and more of myself, you're going to get really offended. You're going to take it personally and go nuts. And good, I hope you get offended, but no, just kidding. I really, I have to slowly, like, to get my comedy, my sense of humor, I have to just do it slowly. Otherwise, you know, I don't want people, you know, seriously getting offended or take things personally. You know, I have nothing against you. You know, you have a right to your opinion, even though you're wrong, but I'm kidding. Anyways, go on, Rob.
No, but I know what you were saying when you said that, and you did say it with sarcasm, of course, which doesn't come across in type on the internet, and that's one of the reasons that having a fight on the internet or trying to do comedy is one of the hardest things to do because everybody interprets it their own way and misinterprets what you're trying to do. But I do think there was a big nugget of truth to what you were saying. Michael Cera plays the same role in every movie. It's one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of him. Yes, I too did like Arrested Development. And when I saw that he was going to be doing other things, I was excited. Then I saw that he was doing the same thing over and over. And it got tiresome and I got sick of seeing it. Scott Pilgrim, right. I do think, is a movie where that character actually works. So it's going to work here and there. Him as an actor, he does the same thing. He just needs to make sure he picks the roles where that's definitely going to fit. And most of those movies, I'm not going to see. But Scott Pilgrim looks so good. And back to the rant that you did give and the things that you said, like, girls don't like him because he's going to do all that, like he's going to write you a poem and he's going to do all these nice things and it's going to come off as creepy to the girl. I know, I think I took some of that personally, not in the sense that you were attacking me, but in the sense that I have dealt with those hardships in my life and it's very, very frustrating because you want to see.
Yeah, totally, bro. I wasn't attacking you. I meant that
I know you weren't.
I can relate to that. And, you know, there was a time in my life I could relate to that. I think, like, what was it? I was probably, like, 19 years old. I did a painting for some girl, that type of thing, you know? I had a huge crush on her type thing. You know, I spent weeks doing a painting. I look at it back at it now, I laugh. You know, yeah, I got grown from it. But there's so many guys out there that do that stuff, and the girls that deny that, like, you know, and ladies out there listening, do not get me wrong. This is the other half of women, you know? They're girls out there that are appreciate that stuff, although they're rare, they're hard to find, usually they're taken, whatever. But it, like, most of the girls that will deny that are they deny it because they're oblivious to it, because they don't see it. It's
right.
Like, yeah, you're oblivious to it because he's you're already friends with him somewhere. You're already friends with that Michael Cera. He's already there. And I liked your last podcast, Rob, where you said you wanted to kind of bring in more social stuff. I think we should slowly do that, you know, connect the geek generation to more social things that are happening in our generation, you know, that coincide with that. Because I think not only talking about things like comic books and movies, but relating to stuff socially, what geeks go through, I think is pretty big. And that's a big subject on its own.
Yeah. And I like that rant you gave and everything. And I do want to talk about all the experiences that I have, because I do feel I went through a lot of things that the majority of geeks did. Again, people are going to think that just because I say this is the way things are and this is what happens and that I'm just speaking in broad terms and it applies to everything. We understand that there are exceptions to every single thing that can possibly happen. I mean, me and you don't look like the stereotypical geek. We don't act like the stereotypical geek. That doesn't mean that we were not that person at some point in our lives.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I go clubbing and stuff before. I used to hate to dance. I used to hate to go out. Now I go out and, you know, people are like, what the hell? Like, you're into comic books? Dude, Vin Diesel, he used to play Dungeons and Dragons. Like, you're going to go up to his face, call him a geek? And that's another thing I want to say. Socially, though, for all you geeks out there that are going through hardship, that you might right now be being picked on, you might be in high school, you might be in college, you might have that crush on the girl, you're trying to get her attention, you're doing all these nice things. In the end, it pays off. It takes hard work. It takes, like, yeah, getting your heart crushed. But I want you to think of something right now. Geeks become the most successful people in life. I want you to give me one example of where someone was interviewed and they said, yeah, I used to be a bully. You know, no one. You can't give me an example of that, but I can give you hundreds of examples of celebrities, of scientists, of politicians. I mean, I don't really like politics, but, you know, good, successful people, you know what I mean? Role models that are successful that were geeks. I mean, like recently online, you know, nothing against Michael Jordan, but there's this statistic about how much he makes for endorsements, and it goes through all these crazy things, how like he could play a round of golf and he'll get paid all his money just for playing golf. But you scroll through this, and at the very bottom it says, but Michael Jordan would have to, like, for the next few years, he would have to keep getting these endorsements to make like some amount of money of Bill Gates. I'm totally ruined this, but in the end it says like the geek wins or whatever, like that type of thing. But
Right.
being a geek, I think, and perhaps because we'll probably make this episode 3 hours long if we kept on this subject, but I think at a future time, Robin, you know, I'd love to co-host this with you, get some other, maybe have some other people call in too, but talk about geek and society. You know what those two mean, and you know being a geek is rough, especially being younger. You go through a lot, and but I think in the end you become a better person, and you become like Gandalf the White. You know what I mean? It's like you fight the Balrog, and you come out on top because, like, once you go through crap, you come out a better person. You know, no one goes through life being handed treats and skipping, and you don't learn much from that. You learn a little from defeat, but you learn, I mean, you I totally messed that up. You learn a little from victory, but you learn everything from defeat.
Right.
And I think being a geek, it has to do with that. You, as long as you're open-minded, you know, there's some geeks, let me tell you, man, you know, I've been to some comic book stores, and there's these like 40-year-old guys that come in, and they just ne they'll never get it, but you know, it's like, dude, it's called soap. Use it.
Right.
Cleanse yourself. Deodorant. You know what I mean? That type of geek stuff. You know, but you know what I mean, man.
Well, yeah,
Anyway,
I
so.
have a whole rant plan that I've meant to throw on this show for quite a while now, and I think it might actually
Throw it
be
on.
I well, I'm not gonna do it right now, but
Okay.
it's something I think I would like to do with a few different people on the show at once, and it's really maybe episode 10, since that'll be a big milestone for us on the show. We'll do it then, but it's defining what a geek is now and what it actually means and people's perceptions of geeks then and now and how things have changed and the way society looks at all that, I think is really, really interesting. And I have very strong opinions about all of it. So I would love to get into that, in a future episode. We won't right now, of course, but that would be a very, great topic and debate to have and just kind of all lay out our personal stories and our own struggles and whatnot growing up geeky. But I'm going to transition right into my freak out first, just because it's right along these lines.
Do it up.
Oh, freak out!
You brought up last week's, and I'm glad you did. And I'm glad you gave me your opinion that you do like the infusion of some real world stuff and what's actually, going on with us as people. And my freak out was actually that nobody seems to care what I'm doing with the show, because as much as I pleaded and asked the audience for help and for opinions as how to move this show in whatever direction they want, I got no responses as to whether that was interesting to them or they were bored by it. So I'm just going to take that as my creative license that people are trusting what I'm doing so far and enjoying the show with what I'm doing so far. And I'm just going to go with the philosophy of Abraham Lincoln that you can't please all the people all the time. So I'm not going to try to please everybody unless I'm hearing some sort of massive outcry all of a sudden. I'm just going to do what I think is a good show and have it be that.
Yeah, definitely do that, dude. One of the best things I've heard, I forget who said it. I think Charlie Brown said it or something.
So I say the
Is
name again, you kind of
the
broke up there. I
recipe
didn't
for
even catch it.
failure. I was joking around. I said Charlie Brown said it, but
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. I forget who said this, but a recipe for failure is trying to please everybody. And you know, I think you see a lot of that in a lot of movies that kind of just are out for a weekend and instantly a DVD is because they try to mix every genre, they try to please every type of audience member, you know, the viewer that's going to see it. And the same goes for everything, I think, whether it's a comic book, a podcast, a band, whatever. Like if you're going to spread yourself thin and try and like, oh, like I'll please this crowd and that crowd, then you're just doomed to fail. You know, just stick to what you're good at, put all your eggs in one basket because you should believe in it and just go from there, man, you know?
Yeah, so I think but that's kind of the direction.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we could swear more to help the show, maybe have some louder noises, and we can crank call some Chinese restaurants. But
oh, I would love all that kind of stuff. If people are doing crank calls out there, please send them to me. I would love to have more of a comedy element in the show, and we are kind of working on that. I don't think I've really done a comedy bit since we saw the debut of Marty the Intern. He really hasn't returned yet, and I thought it was funny, but I have gotten no feedback about that either, so who knows.
Feedback's hard to get.
What are you freaking out over this week?
What am I freaking out over, dude? All right, here we go. Let's buckle up, guys. I'm freaking out over Marvel. And some of you guys are like, wait, what? This is a Geek Generation podcast about comic books. How are you freaking out about Marvel Comics, like the icon? Well, first of all, I saw the Thor trailer, and I think Thor looks really cool. And this is mostly to do with their movies. Backing up a bit, I started, like, I'm an artist. I started getting into art real quick because of comic books. And it was, I remember like my first comics, I got in like these Little Debbie dessert snacks. There was these 4-series comics. Like the first one was with Spider-Man. The second one was with Wolverine and then the Hulk and Silver Surfer. And like that, I was like, wow, like this is cool. And I started drawing, and that's what got me into drawing and art. So the comic books aside, and you know, that's all great of Marvel, and their recent Civil War, I think, really brought them like into a whole new light that I was like, wow, this is awesome. Because in my opinion, that's more convincing of superheroes to me, because I don't believe in real life there would ever be such thing as supervillains, because everybody would think they're a hero. Everybody would think they're doing the right thing.
That's a good point.
And yeah, you know, it's like world politics. Like there's no nation that says, yeah, we're evil. Every nation thinks they're doing something good.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's the Dr. Doom or the Ra's al Ghul mentality of I'm making the world how I think it should be, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Precisely, and that's why I love Civil War so much, is because you had both sides thinking they were doing the right thing, and I give my hats off to Marvel for that. What I'm freaking out on, though, is their movie department. It seems to be, and specifically to their casting.
Are you getting into your soapbox segment early here?
Do you want me to save this? I mean, this is kind of it. It's gone. I mean, yeah.
All right. We can do the show. Well, we were going to do the 3-segment format that we are used to, but we could jump into it now and just do our commercial break and end with the news block as well.
We could do that. I mean, I don't follow directions. I'm sorry, guys. I don't listen. Rob told me, like, Dave, if you screw this up, the show's canceled. So make sure you go by the schedule, follow these directions. And I'm like, okay, and I ripped it up.
Well, no, we were going to debut this whole new segment of the co-host soapbox, which we were going to do as our 3rd segment of the show. But, I mean, since you've already started your rant, I will give you this platform to continue, I suppose.
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, go ahead. Finish up. Sorry.
All right, guys, we'll try a better format next time, but this is just proving the show is live and that we don't
it's live, you know, even though they're downloading it later.
Even though, yeah, well, it's recorded live. You dumbasses know what I'm talking about. Don't give me that, you know. anyways, yeah, so there's no cue cards in front of us is what I'm saying,
basically. Yeah.
But no, let me jump on the soapbox here. Okay,
all right, go ahead.
The soapbox is that, like, I think, like, Thor looks really cool. The Asgard part, that looks great. The part I'm not interested in, and these are a lot of Marvel's movies, is like on the Earth part, they seem to be the same in every movie. And recently I got to see Iron Man 2. We're going to disagree on this, Rob, but I hated Iron Man 2. I thought it was not like the first one. It didn't have the same chemistry going. It was like, it wasn't convincing. I felt I was watching a movie that was trying to promote a soundtrack. Like, they're like, yeah, let's throw in AC/DC, let's throw in Daft Punk Robot Rock, because that'll be typical for this scene with War Machine Iron Man fighting. And, you know, everything was like America's greatest hits, like every few scenes. And the relationship with Tony Stark and what's her name, Pepper, like, it was the typical, like, honey, why did you leave the fridge door open? I didn't leave the fridge door open. I'm working on this machine gun. Honey, I thought we were going to go to the flower festival. You know, like that type of, like, typical, like, I just unconvincing relationship. I'm just like, come on. And there were just a lot of things that seemed to plot wise, just like, I knew exactly what was going to happen in the first 10 minutes of the movie. I just, everything was so obvious. And I kind of just sat there. I was like, yeah, this is cool, but I didn't like it. It wasn't that great. And I'm just kind of pondering to myself. I'm like, you know, I'm really worried about Marvel. And I'm a pessimist when it comes to a lot of things like this. But I'll tell you this, Rob. I'll tell everybody out there. I would rather be wrong. I would rather have people laugh in my face and say, you were wrong, Dave. You suck. Than for me to be right of a lot of things I'm pessimist about. Because basically what I'm worried about is that Marvel's going to have a big train wreck. They're hyping up the Avengers movie and everything. Everything seems to be going to that. And I think it's going to be a train wreck. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I think it's going to be a train wreck. They're flipped, like, and a lot to do with that is they're pulling in big name actors to have these roles. And it's hard to get those actors back for continuing roles. And one thing of being like following these types of movies is you want some linear thing going. It's like Metal Gear Solid. The guy that does Solid Snake's voice, his name is David Hayter. And if anyone else but him did his voice, it wouldn't be Metal Gear Solid. So the problem is when you start have we're at the third actor now for the Hulk. You know, they didn't want to bring back Edward Norton because Edward Norton's a good actor and he has good ideas. And they're like, no. Which leads me to my other rant of this whole soapbox feel is that Marvel isn't going outside their box. They're staying inside this box for every single one of their movies. And it's like the same style of production on each movie. And for some movies that could work, like on the first Iron Man, I thought that would work well, even though I didn't like the second. Spider-Man worked great. But movies like Ghost Rider, you have to make that movie be like The Crow. You have to make it like really, really dark. And it wasn't. It was a piece of crap. things like that. There's other characters in the universe where you have to step outside of that box. And I think if they did that more, they could have a little more success. Like, especially with X-Men. I don't know. I think, you know, the third one, they kind of just lost it there. And Marvel's solution
kind
now...
Kind of lost it.
yeah. They totally lost it. And Marvel's solution to flopped earlier superhero movies is they're just going to reboot it, which is a whole other gamble in itself. Like Rob, why are they rebooting Spider-Man? Tell me that. Like, how many times do they have to retell the story of Spider-Man's origin? I'm so sick of that. Like,
I know
the
what you're
first
saying
one,
there. Yeah. Well, the reason that they are doing the reboot, from what I've read and what I've heard, is that they were planning to go ahead with a Spider-Man 4 with Sam Raimi and bringing in, I believe, John Malkovich to play the Vulture, and all that was kind of laid out on the table. And then at some point, either Malkovich backed out or Raimi didn't like, I believe it was Raimi not liking the script and the way it was going. And he just said, you know what? Yeah. This just isn't going to work. And he backed out.
Right. Yeah. See, I mean, my only gripe with the first Spider-Man is the Green Goblin. William Dafoe, I was excited that he was the Green Goblin because he looks like the friggin' Green Goblin. But instead,
true.
What did they do? They put a metal mask over him, hiding his face that looks like the Green Goblin. And I was so ticked off at that. I thought Spider-Man 2 was the best of them all, but...
Oh, definitely. Spider-Man 2 might be in the top 5 comic book movies of all time.
Yeah. But another thing about Marvel is I think they should... My feelings is that they should step back and start getting lesser-known actors because it seems to be their more successful films. Like in Spider-Man 2, the guy that played Doc Ock, I forget his name, but...
Alfred Molina.
Yeah. He's not like an Al... Like, imagine if they put like Al Pacino as the Doc Ock. You know, hey, watch out, Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it works because the problem is when you have someone like Anthony Hopkins is playing Odin. He looks like a great Odin. And I think Anthony Hopkins probably isn't the best example, but The problem is if you have big name actors, we're almost expecting something from them. Whereas the guy that's playing Thor, you got to help me out with names here, man. I'm
Chris
terrible
Hemsworth.
With names.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's him, Chris Hemsworth. He's sort of at a lesser known stage right now. So I think Thor is going to be a big success. I think he's going to pull off great. When Hugh Jackman first started as Wolverine, he was lesser known then. And he became an awesome Wolverine. But when you start having Ben Affleck as Daredevil, like,
oh.
Dude, you know, yeah, that whole movie was just a mess.
But and Nick Cage as Ghost Rider, for that matter.
I hate Nicolas Cage and everything. Guys, if you're listening, I hate Nicolas Cage, okay? He sucks. I hate him, all right? If I meet him, I'm going to say, hey, how you doing? Have a punch in the stomach, and I'm going to run away like a little girl. but anyway, yeah, like, I wish they had like a no-name actor for Ghost Rider. You know, you have nothing to lose, but I understand Marvel's position. They have big-name actors and actresses so that they can get, you know, people to go see it. So, you know, they'll spend the money like, oh, wow. And like, I'm a big Natalie Portman fan. You are too, Rob. I mean, she is
huge.
Like a goddess.
Oh, yeah,
and
we used to fight over her even though there was no way any of us were getting her.
No. Well, maybe we'll continue that battle someday. But,
yeah, someday.
After the show, we'll continue it. Anyways. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that ecstatic she's in Thor. I hope she's in a bikini at some point, but, yeah, I don't feel the need she had to be in it. You know, you could have had almost anybody, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm just really, cause I want Marvel to, back in the day, like, especially for you younger listeners, Marvel wasn't what it is at now. When we were back, when me and Rob like were in high school, a lot of friends, Marvel was so low key. I remember going to the toy store, and you know, all you could find were the same action figures. Now they have action figures of like every character in the Marvel universe, and Marvel never had movies like Batman and Superman did. So for Marvel to reach the big screen, that's like such a huge thing in the whole comic fan society. But it's just I want them to succeed so much, and I don't want them to screw up. That's what makes me worried about it. It makes me paranoid and pessimistic about it. Because after Iron Man 2, I was like, I didn't really like it. But you know, then I saw the Thor trailer. I'm like, that looks awesome. Like that looks really cool. So I don't know, man. You know, it's just I just want them to just. Step outside the box a little bit. Don't be too hasty with things. I know there's rumors about things like the Infinity Gauntlet being thrown into the Thor movie. You know, just save those things. Like, just be really, really careful. Like, you know. And
yeah,
that's kind of it. I don't know. Like, take it away, Rob. That's kind of. I just had to get that out. So.
And oh no, it's good. I think there are a lot of hopes that things like the Infinity Gauntlet will be something that shows up at the end of Thor to maybe either tease something into the sequel or to play a big part in the Avengers movie, because we don't really have a whole lot of details about the Avengers. And if they're going to get a team that's superpowered, they need something to really combat. And if they're going to bring in either like Thanos or someone else with the Infinity Gauntlet, then we have a major superpowered enemy that would make sense that it would take the whole Avengers to actually fight against.
Yeah, exactly. I could totally see that. And I mean, I think Thanos would be a great villain for the Avengers movie, but
right.
I hope they don't screw it up like they did for the Fantastic Four movie with when Galactus was like some cloud or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
that was a horrible
things
idea.
Like that. Where Marvel just totally decides to flip things around and hey, let's make it totally not what it is in the comic book. And where does that ever succeed? It doesn't, you know?
Right. Well, if you look at the things that Marvel has done right and you look at their better movies like Iron Man, like Spider-Man 2, and even Spider-Man 1 for that matter. Yes, I have the same gripe you do about it, but overall, it was a very good movie. The movies that seem to stay more accurate to their comic book inspirations tend to be the better movies.
Exactly. And they should just realize that and go with it. You know, don't, if you're going to have an X-Men movie, throw the yellow spandex on Wolverine. That's what we want to see. You know, they're, again, it goes back to they're trying to please everybody. And I think that's what why the movies that didn't do so good flopped is because they were trying to please everybody. We're just stick to the fans, and who cares about other people? I know a lot of people call in or write in responses to articles about, well, for people that don't know about this character and that character, they're going to have to like know this or that. And to me, I think, yeah, there's some point where you got to fill different things in. But for the rest of it, I just go with the comic book. Like, you and me had to learn about all these characters as they originally were from the comic books, you know. Mm-hmm. We didn't retell anything because no one retold it to us because it was easier or whatnot. Just, you know, have Galactus be who Galactus is.
Sure.
You know, like, I don't care if my dad doesn't get that. Like, screw him. No offense, Dad.
and really, you know, it would have taken all of maybe 5 minutes of dialogue from Silver Surfer to really spell out what Galactus was. I mean, look at the way I can't even remember what episode it was, whether it be the Fantastic Four cartoon or whether they did this in a Spider-Man cartoon or X-Men even, but they had Silver Surfer show up and they talked about what Galactus was. They did a quick little 2 minute like flashback montage over Silver Surfer's speech defining who this character is. And when he showed up, we knew, and it really didn't matter where he came from. We knew what his purpose there was and that what kind of a threat he was. And that's all we needed to know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, if they keep things, but I think Marvel is starting to learn a little bit from their failures. And that might be the reason they are doing some reboots, is that you look at Iron Man and you look at the accuracy it has to the comic. They really didn't adapt a ton. The biggest adaptation was probably in Iron Man 2, where they really changed Whiplash's look, and that made a lot of sense for what they were doing, so I'm totally okay with that. But you look at Thor's costume, and he looks spot on, and I think
Loki,
that...
Yeah,
and Loki, and they even put the helmets in there, which a lot of people would say Loki's helmet looks ridiculous, but it's iconic for the character, and they kept it in, which I'm so thankful for. So it seems like they are learning from some of their mistakes, and that's why I don't think I'm as worried for some of the other upcoming movies, including the Avengers, as you are.
Well, I hope I can latch on to some of your optimism, man, you know, because, I want it to succeed, and we'll just see where it goes. So I am glad they're rebooting X-Men, because, you know, X-Men kind of just failed, even though a lot of us liked the second one. The third one was just a disaster. I mean,
absolutely,
anyone that liked that movie, just throw yourself down a flight of stairs for me.
X-Men 3 was absolutely terrible. They took arguably the most epic saga in the X-Men lineage with the Dark Phoenix thing, and they just totally ruined it.
Yeah, they just peed on it. They're just like, here, you know?
Yeah, because how did you feel at the end of X-Men 2 when you saw the Shadow of the Phoenix on the water? It was unbelievable.
I was pumped. It was unbelievable. I was like, I can't wait for the Phoenix saga. And then they give us a Phoenix saga, and I'm like, that's not the Phoenix saga. This is dumb.
Right. Just terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. The saga in the cartoon was better. It was like a week-long thing.
Yeah, and if they really want to know what to do with their movie franchises, look at the cartoons. They got everything correct.
Yep.
At least the 90s cartoons. Don't look at some of the stuff they do now, like X-Men Evolution.
No, I don't get a lot of those shows either. That's another thing Marvel's doing. It's like, why, like, are little kids somehow just stupid now? Or, you know, 10-year-olds are they just morons? Like, what, you can't tell them the real origins? You gotta do this? Like, yeah, I understand that there's different universes as, like, you know, Ultimate Marvel, but, like, why do you have to do X-Men Evolutions? You know, why can't... You know what I would love to have for a show? If Marvel did a really well-animated, like, you know, like a mature-themed, like PG-13 type stuff. You know, it's not for kids. It's for, like, you know, older audiences, but nothing, you know, graphic or whatever.
Right.
But if it was just about the Marvel Universe, where each episode was on different characters, like you could have Ghost Rider, you could have Thor, you could have, you know, the Silver Surfer, you could have all the cosmic things, and then another episode you could have Daredevil, the Punisher, and just kind of go from there. I always thought that would be cool because, you know, the 90s cartoon was great, but
yeah,
I just hope someone's steering the boat at Marvel.
Gotta hope. All right, well, that would be the co-host soapbox segment, which I didn't get to properly introduce. Thank you very much.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so we'll split this episode up a little bit differently, but we do have a little bit more to do before we head into our first commercial break. And you haven't been on the show for quite some time and really didn't get to take part in a lot of the segments as they developed. But we do have a game now, which I know you are somewhat familiar with, and that is called Top 3.
Uh-oh.
3, 2, 1.
All right, your category this week for Top 3, Dave,
okay.
I know you are an artist yourself, and you enjoy drawing the female form. So, I'm going to ask you who you think the top three hottest comic characters are. And all those people out there that say comic book characters and cartoon characters can't be hot, you think about the time when you were a kid watching Roger Rabbit and you saw Jessica Rabbit on screen and all that stuff. So don't give me that crap. So Dave, what are the three hottest comic book characters you can think of?
Oh, pee-pee big. the top three. You know, the first comic book chick, this is probably my number one, that I had a crush on, and I was like, man, I just want to do nasty things to her, is Psylocke from X-Men.
Ah, yes.
If you look, because I know she has, like, she had different costumes or whatever, but the one where it was sort of a navy blue where it was, she had a lot of her thighs exposed, her stomach exposed, and kind of had these blue, like, sashes going around her. It's mm-hmm. It's hard to describe over this, but and just a long, streaky black hair with purple highlights and the hot Asian body with gigantic breast. she's just so hot. She's okay. Number one.
So there's one.
Two and three. There's so many.
Because, and you don't have to put them into order if you don't want to. You can just all right. Give me three. That's okay. Okay.
I got to put Witchblade up there only because she was the first to start the whole like, let's throw away plot and story and characters and just draw hot chicks type of comic books, you know, from Top Cow and all that. Like, they had characters, I think, Fathom come out, and I can't even list them all. There's just too many. Like, just go to a Comic-Con. You'll see just these ostrich egg boobs on every girl. And, like, oh, that sells. So I got to put Witchblade in there.
All right.
Number two. She started all, and she is pretty damn hot. let me see. Number three, hot chick. A lot of people would say Wonder Woman, but I wasn't really attracted to Wonder Woman. Who do I want to say is number three?
It's tough when you're on the spot, isn't it?
it is, dude. I'm having a full blown anxiety attack right now. Oh, the walls are closing in. But no, they're not closing in. Just the ceiling. Number three for hottest comic book girl. How do I choose? There's so many of them. There's so many that I've locked myself in the bathroom with. I mean.
Oh boy. Really? You had to go there?
I had to go there. I want to say, you know what? I'm going to say Rogue.
Ah.
I think she's really hot.
Leaves a lot to the imagination.
Yeah, because she always has to conceal her skin, but under it, I know she's a knockout. I think because, what was it? It was in some What If comic I had. She had sex with Magneto. Like, Magneto put a field around him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they showed her body, like, you know, it was under the sheets and everything. It's a comic book. They can't show it. But she's naked and everything. And I think from there, I got it in my mind. She was really blazing hot.
Interesting choices.
So, but yeah, oh, there's so many. I know, like, later tonight, I'm going to wake up in my sleep and be like, and put out some name like, Supergirl, Rob, I'm going to call you up. Like,
I'll be like, dude, it's 4 a.m. in the morning. Show ended, like, so long ago.
Yeah, but can't you just edit it in? You know, don't you just go beep, beep, bop, a boop, and hit the button? You know,
yeah, like Mike tried that one already. There are no redos. Sorry.
No redos, man. This is like Mario 1. We just keep going forward. Can't
go
back.
You got it. Yeah. All right, well, good answers.
All right.
In that case, I'm going to put that out to the audience now for this week's poll question and ask you, who is the hottest comic book character? You can send your answer into podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or at Geek Generation on Twitter. And no, I'm not talking about the movie versions of them. Those are actual real people. I want you to be creative. Think about the drawn versions. Hottest comic book character. Okay? Before we go into our first break, our podcasting friend Chris from Geek Tech Live asked me to remind my listeners that he's having a poll right now to determine the name of his upcoming video podcast. To vote for the name of that show, head over to geektechlive.com, click on the polls link in the navigation, and you can vote for the name of the show that you want there. I guess he already purchased all those domains and will keep whichever one is the winner. The polls will be open until he hits episode 100, so you have probably only a matter of a few weeks to do that. So please do that. And we are going to take a break right now. We will come back with our news block in just a moment.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris, your host for Geek Tech Live, the bi-weekly podcast that showcases tech news, reviews of consumer products and games, and I even get to talk to some of the movers and shakers in the world of geekdom. Occasionally, I even throw in a rant or two. So drop on by to geektechlive.com. See you there.
Hello, listeners. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Well, then I have good news for you, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You have spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hello, world. This is Todd from Dangerous Memories, and you're listening to The Geek Generation.
We are back on The Geek Generation, and we are going to go right now into news. Top story this week is that Batman is getting another costume alteration and a new team. Grant Morrison recently sat down with the LA Times and talked about Batman Inc., a new series that launches in October and will present the franchising of the Caped Crusader. Essentially, Batman will draft, train, and command a team of heroes who will wear their leader's colors. A few costume changes will come along with Bruce Wayne's return, including the return of the classic black and yellow logo, which is now an emblem which will stand out on his chest. There are alterations to the cape and the utility belt. The cape now drapes over his shoulders and attaches to the emblem on the front. And the belt now has the Batman logo on the front buckle of that as well, which causes a bit of a redundancy with the emblem on his chest. It's the same way it did with the costume in Superman Returns, having that double image. And I know you'll agree with me as an artist that having those two logos and the redundancy there is probably not the best decision.
No, because I knew if I was doing a quarter page ad for a client, if I had two logos, you know, on that ad, just one on the top, one on the bottom, you know, they'd say, well, what are you doing? You know, and you'll scrap that. So, yeah, it is redundant. You know, he's just, he should have it fill up his entire cape and just, I'm Batman, fly off into the night. But no, he just needs one. You know, come on.
Yeah.
We know it's Batman. Like he's going to go up to criminals like, you know, who the hell are you? Like, oh, Batman. Like, you know, look at both his emblems. Like, oh, I couldn't see the belt, but I see your torso one, and that convinces me.
Not that is his main, all the iconic things that make the Batman costume are not going away. So this is just one more alteration and evolution as they have gone through the years and made subtle changes here and there. So I'm fine with the costume change. It's not a big deal. I just wish they hadn't have done that silly little redundancy, but whatever. Nothing major. Let's see. More Batman news. Arkham Asylum 2 is officially now titled Batman Arkham City. It will be available in fall of 2011. Batman Arkham City builds upon the intense atmospheric foundation of Batman Arkham Asylum, sending players soaring into Arkham City, the new maximum security home for all of Gotham City's thugs, gangsters, and insane criminal masterminds. Set inside the heavily fortified walls of a sprawling district in the heart of Gotham City, this highly anticipated sequel introduces a brand new story that draws together a new all-star cast of classic characters and murderous villains from the Batman universe, as well as a vast range of new and enhanced gameplay features to deliver the ultimate experience as the Dark Knight. What do you think?
Sounds rad. I never played the first one, though, so I don't know. I don't have a lot of feedback.
Right. Well, the first Arkham Asylum game I enjoyed very much, probably more so than any other game made last year. And if Uncharted 2 did not come out, it probably would have been voted as the top game of the year. But one of the cool things about Arkham Asylum 2 that I recently stumbled upon is that they were definitely planning for this when they came out with the first game. So I feel it's going to definitely carry in that same success from the first is going to carry into the second. Apparently, there is a hidden room in the first. If you go into it, you can find a map. And a map is the layout for Arkham City. So they had this plan in mind and actually stuck a little Easter egg into the first game for it.
Groovy party, Marsha.
Yeah, right. Next, Jackass 3D trailer came out. It looks pretty much like every other Jackass. You didn't hear about that or watch it yet?
I didn't watch it yet.
Oh, all right. Well, it looks pretty much like every other Jackass movie, but the important thing is, are you excited for a 3D Jackass movie?
Hell yeah, I am. I don't know, man. It depends what they do. They've done some things in the last two that were already 3D enough for me.
You don't want to be immersed in one of their asses?
No. Unless it's Steve-O's ass.
Well, I think it's actually a pretty funny idea. And while we definitely gave our opinions of the 3D-ifying of Hollywood and how we're really yeah. kind of out of that, I would definitely go see a Jackass movie in 3D.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies you take a group of friends, you know, y'all just see it and what the hell.
Yeah, they almost had to, and you know they'll exploit the 3D technology in every way possible, but that will be half the joke.
Yeah, as long as they make the 3D part of the joke for the whole movie, then, I'm game for it, so.
Yeah. DC Showcase Collection has been announced. It includes previously seen shorts of the Spectre, Jonah Hex, and Green Arrow that we saw on various DC animated universe movies throughout the past few years. It will also include an unseen short titled Superman Shazam, The Return of Black Adam, and will be released on Blu-ray and DVD on November 9th, 2010.
I gotta keep up more because DC and Marvel are dishing out these animated shorts or, you know, animated features, and a lot of them are just, like, I've yet to hear of any one of them getting bad reviews, so they all seem to be pretty damn good. And
the DC ones have all been particularly strong. The Marvel ones, on the other hand, have been particularly weak. The only one I can say I really enjoyed from the Marvel side would be the Doctor Strange animated movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
I thought that was pretty good. But a lot of the other ones are... Oh, actually, you know what? I can't say that entirely. Hulk Versus was all right.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, mostly, I mean, from DC, like, their whole animated features, it's all gold. It's all solid in my book.
It is. And I pretty much have all those already, so I don't think the Showcase Collection will necessarily need to be something I need to pick up, and I can probably just watch the Superman Shazam one online when that's actually released, so I don't feel like I'm really missing out on anything.
Shazam!
Shazam! Let's see, there's another trailer out for Yogi Bear, which is a live-action and CG combination movie. Yogi and Boo Boo are going to be fully CG. Yogi is voiced by Dan Aykroyd, and Boo Boo is voiced by Justin Timberlake. And in the trailer, the voices actually aren't too bad. Aykroyd's a little off on the Yogi, and Timberlake is surprisingly similar to the cartoon voice for Boo Boo. But how do we feel about a CGI Yogi Bear?
I feel like I want to put a bunch of matches in my mouth and light them all and sing Yankee Doodle. That's how excited I am about this. I could care less. I would rather lick sap off a pine tree all day than go see this garbage. If you take your kids to see this, you probably shouldn't have kids. And
strong
I hope
feelings.
You choke on your popcorn.
Wow.
Hey, you know, did this, I don't know. You know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
It's, This is garbage. Get it out of here. Let's just have more 3D CGI animals. I mean, I think we need more of that.
I am not 100% against this because I don't know. I think it's okay. I don't know how else they would really do a Yogi Bear and Boo Boo thing aside from doing CGI.
You don't do it as a thing. Hollywood just has no original ideas anymore. They're just like going through back into like the 80s and 70s. What can we let's make a movie of this and that. Like, let's make a Mr. Ed movie. Let's make a Flipper movie. They probably already made a Flipper movie, I think. You know, let's just do every crappy Hanna-Barbera. Like, I hated Hanna-Barbera. I hate all their freaking cartoons. Like, they should just recycle the backgrounds in the movie. Just have recycled CGI backgrounds.
The same way they did in the cartoon. Hanna-Barbera, I was never, like, immensely huge on it when I was younger. It definitely doesn't hold up as you get older. You can't watch that stuff now.
No, you can't.
But the stuff when I was younger, I did enjoy a little bit. So
I enjoyed Johnny Quest when I was younger.
Yeah.
I think that's Hanna-Barbera.
This is definitely going to be purely kids' movie. I can see not a lot of adult humor being thrown into it. And I'll watch it because I basically watch everything at this point. But I am not necessarily looking forward to it.
It's not like a movie such as Up or Toy Story 3 where I can actually laugh at the things. I remember I was forced against my will. I was held at gunpoint actually to watch the Chipmunks movie. And
which one? Geez. The first or the second?
The first one. I didn't get to see the awesomeness of the second one yet.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and make a confession here then, because I saw the first one in the theaters, and I already know you're going to disagree with me, but I actually really liked it. And I went to see the second in the theaters because of my enjoyment of the first, and I absolutely hated the second one, though.
Oh, Rob, man. You're killing me, dude!
I know, I'm sorry.
I knew you were going to do this. This is why I messed up your show. This is why I did Soapbox earlier, because you went to see the Chipmunks movie, and I disagree with you.
I know. Yeah, so that's the Yogi Bear stuff. Last news item for today. Pixel Junk Shooter 2 details have been released. The game will take place within the body of the creature that swallowed your ship at the end of the first one. There are some new elements mixed into it, like a caustic bile-like fluid and a purple ooze. There's also a factor of light and dark taking place in this game, where if your ship is traveling out of a lit area and into the darkness, the dark will actually attract ghosts that will attack you, and they're indestructible, so you can only survive in the darkness for so long. So those two additions will create a lot more new puzzle elements for the second game. Did you get a chance to play the first Pixel Junk Shooter at all?
No, I didn't, but it really sounds like my type of game. I dig those things. Just where there's any type of like different combinations of things that involve strategy to succeed is up my alley. And the ghost thing sounds really scary.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the ghosts from Mario Brothers where you couldn't kill them.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of the same thing.
Unless you, in Mario 3, if you had the hammerhead suit, you could kill them.
True.
But that is another story.
Laying down that geek knowledge right there.
Right there, guys.
Well, the first Pixel Junk Shooter was, it felt a lot like, it was a good game. It felt a little short, and it was a lot of an experiment with liquid physics effects and things like that. So it was really cool, and it was really new and innovative. And clearly they're going to take a lot of those ideas into Pixel Junk Shooter 2 and expand on them. So I'm definitely looking forward to that game too.
Yeah, it seems to be along the lines of the first podcast we did when I was talking about Gemcraft. The first game was more of an experiment. And then their second game is actually a prequel, and it's this long-ass game that just multiplies everything of the first one and just has 10 times more levels and is a lot longer, so it sounds similar to that. I hope they do that, but I'm gonna check it out.
Cool. All right, well, that ends our news, so it's just about time to start wrapping up this episode. I'm going to remind the audience one more time of the poll question, which is, who is the hottest comic book character? You can send that to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or at Geek Generation on Twitter. Coming up next week, Mike Reinfleisch will return to the show. I'm not entirely sure what we're going to talk about yet, but he will be here.
My nemesis!
Nemesis, yeah. He kind of called you out his first time here.
He did call me out. You know what? When I find him up here in the White Mountains, I'm going to slash his goddamn tires.
Well, eventually we'll get the two of you on one show together and you can just have it out.
We will have it out. We'll do.
Awesome. Is there anything you'd like to plug today, Dave?
My computer, it's dying. I got to plug that in.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't plug anybody? No. Just myself. Everybody try and just look at how awesome I am. You know, once a day. I'm just kidding. No. I don't want to plug anything. Okay. I want you to do your thing. I want people to listen to your show, enjoy it, have some ice cream, taste it, make sure it's delicious. And that's it. Then don't take a bubble bath with your pajamas on.
All right.
Because they get soaking wet.
So a plug for ice cream and dry pajamas.
Dry pajamas, yeah.
Great. All right. As always, if you like the show, I ask you to please tell your friends about it. That's the only way we get new listeners, as far as I know, aside from me endlessly sending out links to it on Twitter to those who I think might be interested. We finally hit 100 listeners on our last episode, so that's now our highest rated episode due to the popularity of Inception and me sending out that link constantly. So if any of you are sticking around from listening to that last one, welcome to the family, I guess. If you want to check out the site, you can go to The Geek Generation at www.thegeekgeneration.com. You'll find all the stories we talked about in the news today in our show notes. There is a button there to subscribe in iTunes. While you're there, please rate the show and write a review. That increases our visibility in the iTunes store. There's a donate button, which you can contribute some money to help me get a digital audio recorder. And
we need money.
You can buy shirts from Stylin' Online, who we are an affiliate of as well. You'll see those on the front page if you don't have an ad blocker installed. If you have questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, please send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or at Geek Generation. If you would like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, you can send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. So Dave, thank you for taking some time out of your New Hampshire vacation to join me for this episode.
No problem. Sorry again for the technical difficulties. Hope I don't sound too screwed up, but hey, maybe it'll just make me more silly.
Maybe.
But it's going to get crazier, guys, so stay tuned. We're going to just get bolder and bolder.
Bolder and bolder. So that's going to do it for today, and we will see you next time on The Geek Generation.
Peace out.